Hello and welcome to the Enjoy Church podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope this message empowers, equips, and helps you become everything God has called you to be. Enjoy the message.
How many of you have ever had a knot in your stomach? How many of you have ever been worried sick because of financial realities in your life? Give me a wave, that's you. I reckon that's probably half of you, and the other half may have an issue with lying or something, I don't know, or maybe you can't lift your elbow up, it's like, whatever. I think we've all been in a place where it's like, stress has come, the knot has come because of financial realities. We talked about it. I'm not going to listen to the spirit of mammon anymore, which says that my money matters are greater than the sovereignty of God. We've got to work this thing out. God is sovereign. Who is sovereign in your life? Is God sovereign or is your money sovereign? Because when money shouts louder than the voice of God, how many of you know we're going to be bowing down to that rather than to Him? We're going to be making decisions based on that rather than His word for our life. Friends, we need to work it out right from the very start. God is sovereign. All right. So when I understand that I'm finding myself in a place where I've got these realities and these issues going on, it's in that time that I'm going to cast my cares upon the Lord in the knowledge that the Lord cares for me. How many of you know the Lord cares for you? I know it's a long weekend, but you can do better. You know what I'm saying? How many of you know the Lord cares for you? All right. How many of you know you'll always get a bit of response from heaven when you respond to heaven? You know what I'm saying? Even when I ask the question, how many of you want to be blessed? Some of you are like, can I say this to you? You might think it's strange. The Lord sees it all. You ask me if I want to be blessed by God. I'm like, ah! You know what I'm saying? It's like, you will not be able to. It's like, man, he might be a bit loco, but he wants to be blessed. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I want to be blessed of God. The Lord sees it all. And so I just want to encourage you in regard to that. That's why when the prophet would open the word, they would all begin to sing and shout and praise the Lord and shout, amen, praise God. Because something on the inside is coming alive because my hope is in the Lord. All right, so now when I find myself going through these difficult times, I'm going to cast my cares upon the Lord because the Lord cares for me. I'm going to cast in the knowledge that He is the one who cares for me. He's the one who came for me, laid down His life and died for me. I'm going to cast my cares upon the Lord. He's not going to leave me nor forsake me, but He's going to meet all of my needs according to His riches in glory. This is my sovereign God. And everybody said, amen. So let's give it up for our sovereign God. All right. 3 minutes. That's all it took. Okay, it took four, but whatever. Who's counting? All right. 4 minutes. All right. So that's last week. Now you've got it. God is sovereign. Friends, I know you've got stuff going on here. So have I. Don't bow down to that. Don't go changing your work situation, working on Sundays because I need the extra $8. Trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. Put your hope in God. Put your trust in God. But if you don't come and work on Sunday, then you can't have my job. I don't need your job that much. I need the Lord. Are you going to supply all of my needs according to Target's riches and glory? No. How many of you know? I'm excited. Praise God. It's like, Shane, calm down. Calm the farm. I will not calm the farm. I'm going to come and prophesy. Prophesy. Feeling it today. I can tell you. Praise God. Oh, man. All right. Shall we turn to the Word of God? All right, so let's step into part two this morning. Psalm chapter 23, reading from verse 4, or 3, if you like. All right. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That sounded a bit weird then, didn't it? That just came out a bit awkward. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, O Lord. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table, a feast even, before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Isn't it true that it's in the valley of the shadow of death where the knots come into our stomach? It's in that place of darkness, of despair, of lack, where there is a lack of transparency and a lack of a future. It's in that place that the knot comes into our stomach. It's in that place that the voices begin to shout at us and scream at us, telling us that we're not going to make it through. But if the Lord is with you in the valley, then the Lord will see you through. Friends, I want to encourage someone today. If the Lord is with you in the valley, then the Lord will see you through. Not only will He see you through, but He wants to sit you in a high place. How many of you know when you came into Christ, when you came into God through Christ Jesus, as a result, you are now seated in heavenly places, amen? Amen. Come on, come on. Someone needs to start. You need to start clapping for your breakthrough, clapping for your victory, because it's in God. You've tried everything else and it let you down. Now it's in God. So God, He elevates you and He sits you in a high place that you might delight yourself in the Lord, that you might begin to see that your present reality doesn't need to be your future's reality. All right, I say doesn't need to be. I'm not saying it's not going to be, because it's actually what you do, not what I say. It's actually what you do, not even what God says. You can hear the word of the Lord, but if you don't do anything with it, it will profit you nothing. But if you will hear the word of God and then begin to step out in faith, how many of you know your future reality will be better than your present? Psalm 23, verse 5. You prepare. Hate it when it does that. You prepare a table or a feast before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. My enemies in the context of this series are all who are connected to the one who has come to rob, kill, and destroy. Jesus said that the thief or your enemy has come to rob, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. Yeah. All right, think about this. So the enemy, the thief, comes to rob, kill, and destroy. He does it in the way of lack, in the way of poverty, drought, brokenness, debt, despair, distress. All of these are my enemies used by the spirit of mammon to mess with my head. How many of you have had the enemy mess with your head in regard to your finances? Isn't it true that this area and this area alone brings so much distress to us all? And the enemy will get into our head and he begins to mess us up, telling us you're never going to get through the valley. You're never coming out of the valley. You're going to die in this place. Your children are going to die in this place. Everyone's going to die in this place. But how many of you know, Jesus said, the word said, David's revelation is, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I'm walking through. I may be in it today, but I'm not planning to stay. I may be here today, but I'm not going to build myself a house and camp here, because I'm walking through. God has got a better plan for me, and God has got a better plan for you. This may be your present day, but it doesn't need to be your tomorrow. Friends, God has got so much more for you. Why do we struggle to believe that God has got a better future for us? Why do we struggle to believe that God has got good things for us? It blows my mind. It's like, do we believe we have a good father or a mean, nasty father? Tightwad father. What sort of father do we serve? We serve a God who is good. Good. Mammon wants to mess with my head, and mammon wants to mess with your head. That's why you go to bed at night and you lay there and you think about it and you worry about it. It does your head in. So I can't stop thinking about it. That's where I was at. I told the story last week about that car. It was just a car. Money was associated. Then money says, look what you've done. You've messed it all up. You're going to die and then you're going to have anything for your children. It's like, I want to be a blessing to my children, my children's children. It's like, yeah. No. Got to make a decision. I'm not going to live here any longer with my head messed up by a devil that did not die for me. My Jesus died for me. My Jesus is for me. My God has got a better plan for me. He's got a better future for me. And everybody said, amen. So God wants to take us on this journey. David's revelation is that even on my worst day, how many of you have had some bad days? How many of you have had a worst day? I got to tell you, you may have had a worst day, but you need a revelation. David had a revelation. Even on his worst day, when I'm in a dark place, the Lord prepares a table, a feast for us in the presence of our enemies. Then He anoints our heads. He anoints our heads with oil. How many of you have got a head? True story. when David came back to Goliath, to camp with Goliath, he said, look, I'm getting ahead. Not true story. I'd made that up. He anoints our heads with oil. Why does he anoint your head with oil? All right, what's in your head? Your brain. Your thinking. He anoints your head and begins to flow down onto everything, everywhere. He anoints my head. He anoints my thinking. Gives me revelation. He anoints my head with oil. Why? So our cups might overflow. How many of you would like some overflow in your life? Praise God. 30% of you. The rest of you, no soup for you. No soup for you. Soup day. It's International Soup Day. How many of you know it's International Soup Day today? Is that Soup Day? Yeah. International Soup Day. Super Sunday. All around the world, enjoy world, we are celebrating the soup. Praise God. And it's international because we have over 100 nationalities at Enjoy Church. So it's International Soup Day. Johnny Paterno says we're racist. He wants International Pizza Day because he said Italians like pizza. I'm like, I don't care for pizza. I want soup day. Moving right along. Then he anoints our heads with oil so our cups overflow. The order goes like this. Feast, anoint, overflow. How many of you like overflow? All right. Leave it there. Feast, anoint, overflow. You got a feast, anoint, overflow. What we need to understand is this. It's God's word that leads to renewed thinking, which when acted upon leads to an abundance. Did you hear that? Got to get some of you need to get that in your spirit today. It's God's word that leads to a renewed thinking, which when acted upon leads to an abundance. Now, the God First Freedom series surrounds the topic of finances. And the reason is simply this. You and I both know that this is the area that most people struggle to get truly free in. We can work in our marriages, we can work in our families, and we can find freedom to varying degrees. But if we're not free here, how many of you know, if we're not free here, it is going to impact every area of our life. Every area of our life. So we're going after this area in the knowledge that if we're free, completely free, totally free in Christ in regard to this area, then all of our life will be free in Jesus' name. All right. So often when we talk about life, how many of you know when it comes to depression, which is a real issue, 1 in 8 Australians are on antidepressants. If that's you, no judgment, none at all. But how many of you know God wants you to be free? Amen. He wants to take you on a journey. 1 in 8 Australians are on antidepressants. I wonder how many, if you were to go to the root of their depression, there's financial issues that are binding them up, tying them up, screaming at them, yelling at them every night long. If we were to look at the divorce rate in this country, as in I can promise you, more than 50% of divorces have financial realities as a root issue in the cause of their marriage breakdowns. When it comes to distress in our world, how many of you know, and discontentment and disappointment, so much of it revolves around the issue of finance. So God wants to set you free here. If he can get you free here, you're going to be free indeed. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The principles that we'll learn in regard to this area are then going to be an overflow. Take the same principles, take them into your marriage, take them into your family, take them into your business, take them into your ministry. The principles that will set you free here will set you free everywhere. And everybody said? Amen. Amen. So that's where we go. We take the principles. So the Lord, our sovereign Lord, anoints our heads so our cups overflow. Let me ask you again, how many of you like some overflow happening in your life? Give me a big wave. All right. Because if you didn't wave, you weren't going to get any. You know what I'm saying? So, like I said, God watches it all. All right. But praise God, most of your hands went up straight away. Good job. We're in this together. The word overflow here, the meaning of it is the noun reveya. It simply means this, overflowing with wealth to fill, to satisfy. Now, some of you are like, overflowing with wealth? I'm going flat out to pay my bills. That's why we need to preach this series, so that you can get revelation. You can feast on the word of God so that you might know from Genesis to Revelation the plan of God. I was really surprised last week when I was in the north. I asked them the question, how many of you know how God wants to deal with your finances? Seriously, less than 5% of the people in the room were able to put up their hand. Now, there is no condemnation. I'm not trying to judge. But the point is this, if people don't know how to deal with finances, then how can they receive the blessing of dealing with finances appropriately? So I'm like, as a pastor, just like I would sit on the side of the road with my daughter and say, baby, if you will do this, how much more does God want to explain to us? Children, if you will do this, then you're going to be blessed in me. And everybody said, amen. This is the heart of God. He wants you to live in that place of overflow. So let's take this thinking before the Lord, not just in regards to our finances, but also in regards to our relationships, our marriages, our ministries, our businesses, etc. All right, the Lord prepares a feast for us in the presence of our enemies. Hear this. The Lord's not going to prepare a feast for you on the other side of the valley. He's going to prepare a feast for you in the valley. So many of us are like, when I get to the other side of this situation, when I get to the other side of this, what's going on at the moment, when I sort this situation out, when I sort this problem out, friends, I promise you this, you will stay in the valley for the rest of your life. You need to realize in this moment, God is reaching from heaven to lift you up and seat you in the presence of your enemies. He's looking to seat you at a high place and give you a feast. A feast. You say, what is a feast? The feast is the word of God. The feast is the word of God. He wants to lift you up in the presence of your enemies, so that we might delight ourselves in the Lord, that we might partake. Everyone say partake. How many of you are going to be a partaker of the Word of God? You got to feast on the Word of God. I like the scripture where the Lord says to the prophet that he wanted him to eat the scroll. So the Lord says, all right, eat the scroll. He's got the Bible. Not a coffee scroll, that's a different scroll. But he's got the Bible in scroll, and the Lord is like, now eat the word. I'd be like, say what? You know, but he's like, so he partakes of the word of God. We need to be men and women seated by the Lord in heavenly places, in the presence of our enemies. Yes, I got debt. Yes, I got discouragement. Yes, I got darkness. But in the presence of my enemies, I'm going to delight myself in the Lord. I'm going to partake of the word of God. I'm going to start eating. And then what happens? The Lord anoints our head with oil in that place. All of a sudden, in that place, when I'm thinking there's no way out, I'm stuck in this place for the rest of my life. All of a sudden, I'm beginning to think differently because he's anointed my head with oil. All of a sudden, I'm beginning to see differently. All of a sudden, I'm beginning to see opportunity. All of a sudden, I'm beginning to see things that I'd never seen before. And the Lord says, all right, now you're in this place. I've seated you in heavenly places. You are partaking of the word. I've anointed your head with oil. And then what do I do? This is what I do. I'm going to get up. I'm going to stand up. Everyone say, I'm going to stand up. I'm going to stand up. I'm going to begin to walk. But not like I have been. Now I'm walking in obedience because I have a revelation. I didn't know. What does the Bible say? My people perish through lack of knowledge. I didn't know. So often I didn't know. But now I have a revelation. Now I'm beginning to walk in obedience. And because I walk in obedience, the promises of God become yes and amen to those who are in Christ Jesus. So then I begin to walk it out and step it out. As I walk in obedience, I find myself in this place now where my cup overflows. Overflows. Friends, I want to say to you today, you need to begin to believe for the overflow. God wants to bring you to a place of overflow. Now, don't clap. Here's the thing. It's like some of you want to clap. Let me clap. You can clap in a minute. Some of you have been told, this is us. Some of you have been told, we've always been like this. Some of you have been told, poverty has always been in our family. It's just, we just get by. We don't need to be like those other people who can have 3 meals a day. We just get by. Some of you have been told, look, divorce isn't that bad. As in, most of the people in our family have been divorced, but that's all right. By the fourth marriage, they get it worked out. It's like some of you have been told, you've been told. And then it's like, well, I'm just going to do this. Like, I'll get married once, I'll get married twice, three times. Who cares? Like, at the end of the day, it's like, as long as there's someone around, we get by. We've got enough for ourselves. Sorry, everybody else, but we've got enough for ourselves. Friends, I want to tell you, that's not where God wants you to live. God wants to take you. It may not happen today, and it may not happen tomorrow, but if you'll begin to obey the word of God and step out the word of God every day, in the fullness of time, overflow is going to be yours. Now, this is not me saying, this is the word of God. This is what Jesus says. This is what God says. Why do we find it so hard to believe that God wants to bless us? So let's feast for a minute. Feast for a minute. Some of you are bound by the spirit of mammon. And there is a real fear. There's a real fear there in regard to your finances simply because you don't know the word. So let's feast just for a minute. Now, I say feast, as in, I wish I had like 3 hours to pig out on the word. You know what I'm saying? How many of you know pig out is like in the Greek sense? All right, moving right along. I wish I had 3 hours just think about this. I think I read the verse to you last week. In 3 John verse 2, it says, Beloved. How many of you know you are the beloved? Amen. Thank you, girl. You are the beloved. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. I remember one of the first times I read this, I had someone from our church come and tell me, I'm not into that prosperity doctrine. I'm like, what are you talking about? And he said that verse, and I'm like, that's not a prosperity. This is a Bible. And I was like, no, I'm not into that prosperity doctrine. And I'm like, all right. So the first time I read this, and I got people complaining because of the word. And I'm like, okay, well, let's do it differently. Hey, you loser. I pray that your life would suck in all things and everything would die. May it all die. Take that. Why do we choose to believe less than what the Bible says? Why do we choose to believe less than the Bible says? Now, I know that you may not be in the best season of your life. I understand that. But how many of you know, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, yeah, I acknowledge it's not where I wanted to be, but I'm not staying in this place. I'm walking through in Jesus' name, and God has got a better plan for me. I'm going to yield my life to God. I'm going to obey His word, and I'm going to enjoy the fruit thereof. All right, everybody said? Amen. Amen. We're going to go for broke. We're going to go for broke. Praise God. We're going to believe the word of God. Amen. That we're going to prosper in all things and be in health, good physical health, even as our soul prospers. Jeremiah 17 verse 7 says, but blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and their confidence. Amen? Amen. Amen. Blessed. Blessed! How many of you want to be blessed? Yeah. Blessed are those. Blessed are those who what? Blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and their confidence. The economic situation is not my hope. My boss is not my hope. My in-laws and my outlaws are not my hope. My hope is in the Lord, and in my God I will hope, and in my God I will trust. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered. They don't have a knot in their stomach. That's not where they live. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they go right on producing delicious fruit. They're not bothered. They don't live with knots. They're not stressed out. They're not concerned. No. Their hope is in the Lord their God. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. Always remember that it is the Lord your God who gives you the power to become rich. Now, some of you will be like, oh, that can't mean financially. That would be like rich in my soul, you know what I mean? As I sit here and pick my scabs and look for there's a Hungry Jack's wrapper with a little bit of cheese. I'm like, maybe I can lick that. But I go, I'm rich on the inside. I'm rich on the inside. God bless you. No. Friends, can I encourage you today? As in, yes, He wants us to be rich on the inside. But God wants to give you the power to gain wealth. That's actually what that scripture means here. He gives you the power. Oh! He gives you the power to gain wealth. And he does it to fulfill the covenant made with your ancestors. So let's just go here. Overall prosperity. Man, you're out way too early, bro. But anyway, you can stay. You're welcome to stay. They sent you out, so just stay. It's like we're gonna preach the word. We got lights going on. We got stuff going on. You know what I think? I think, when was the last time you saw this happening? You know, it doesn't happen every day. It's like, why does the enemy decide? Now you might say you're over spiritualizing it. Maybe I am, but the point is this: if you get distracted, you'll miss the word. If you get distracted, that's why I'm like, I'm soldiering on. I don't give a rip. You know what I'm saying? The reason I don't give a rip is because I care about you. I care about your marriages. I care about your family, just like I care about my daughter on the side of the road. I care about you. You are important to me. You're not like my family. You is my family. You is my... I know that's really bad English, but that's why I'm a Bible teacher and not an English teacher. Because at the end of the day, it's like, I'm going to keep going, and hopefully, even if one or two of you get this, I promise you it'll change your life. But imagine if we all get it, it'll change us completely. God has got a plan for you. God has got a purpose for you. And it's not that you would die in the valley of the shadow of death, but it's that he would seat you in heavenly places. He'd anoint your head. You would get revelation. You'd understand what obedience means. You would walk in obedience. And as a result, on the other side, you would live in that place in the space of overflow. This is the heart of God for you. So let's just go here. Your overall success, prosperity and success, is important to God. He loves and cherishes you. Joshua 1 verse 8 says, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. So he seats us in a heavenly place. He says, partake. He's a feast. We partake of the word of God. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day or night. Be careful to do now everything written in it as you start to walk. Then you will be prosperous and successful. That's where your overflow comes. So what have we learned so far last week? Point number one, God is sovereign. God is sovereign. Point number two, already God wants you to be prosperous and successful. All right, we do the word of God. That's where it leads to. Point number three, this is where we need to go today. It's interesting. It's like, It's like, don't drop the bomb. I'm going to drop the bomb. To hell with the devil. That's what I say. This is what you need to realize. Point number three is simply this. We need to sow with a harvest in mind. We need to sow with a harvest in mind. Many of you have been taught much about sowing, but not necessarily a lot about reaping. Friends, can I encourage you today? You've only been told half the story. I think there's many pastors, and maybe I'm included in that number, that have only told one side of the sword. But for you to live in the freedom that God has got for you, you need to be aware there are two sides to the sword. Sowing is one side, reaping is the other side. Now, I'm sure as we even go here, some of you, as we even put our foot into the water here, some of you are going to realize you've had a wrong understanding about sowing. For argument's sake, I talk about sowing, you say to me, Shane, just so you know, I'm already sowing. I bring my tithes in every week. Friends, can I say this to you? If you bring your tithes to the Lord every week, that is not sowing. Not sowing. Some of you are like, say what? It's not sowing. It is returning the tithe. How many of you know the tithe belongs to the Lord? You don't get to determine what you do with your tithes. You get to determine what you do with the seed. So we return our tithes to the Lord. How many of you know that belongs to God? That's not me sowing. How many of you would like it or wouldn't like it? How many of you wouldn't like it if we were to take up an offering to send some money to Japan for whatever reason, and the person beside you reached over, took your wallet or took your purse, took out what belonged to you and gave it as an offering? How many of you think that would be awesome? How many of you would get charged with assault? All right. But how many of you know we tend to do this? And we think God's okay with it. That's why in Malachi it says, where God says, will a man rob God? And they're like, it's like you rob me when you don't return the tithe. The tithe belongs to God. When it comes to sowing for a harvest, sowing with the end in mind, you need to be thinking about the fact that, all right, the tithe belongs to the Lord. I return my tithe. I bring that to the Lord. As a result, I redeem the 90%. I give the 10%, and as a result, the 90% is redeemed. That means that this 90% is now blessed. Blessed. The 90% is blessed. As a result of that blessing, now I am good to sow. I am good to go and I'm good to sow. And they said, let there be light. And there was. Praise God. So I'm good to go and I'm good to sow because I've got the blessing on my seed. How many of you know your future harvest lies in the potential of the seed that is in your hand? If you keep it in your hand, you gotta sow. You gotta realize my harvest is in my sowing. Blessing comes as a result of my tithing. The blessing comes on the seed, and now I am good to go. Where am I gonna begin to sow? I'm beginning now to think differently. I wanna sow with the end in mind. I wanna sow with the harvest in mind. What is it that you wanna harvest? What is it that you want in your life? What do you wanna harvest in your marriage? What do you wanna harvest in your family? What do you wanna harvest in finances? What do you wanna harvest in ministry? Because as you make a decision, I'm gonna sow with the end in mind. All right, so now I'm beginning to think differently. Some of you just being told sow, you're not thinking harvest at all. You don't even consider the harvest, neither in your sowing nor in your walking. I can promise you this, I'm all the time looking for my harvest because I've all the time been sowing. I won't tell you figures, but George and I, basically, we sow as much as we tithe. And it's like we haven't always been able to do this. But this is what we've learned. We sow a little, we reap a little. We sow a little bit more, we reap a little bit more. We sow a lot, we reap a lot. How many of you want to reap a lot? Sow a lot. We've all been told sow, but I want to take you to a place now of reap. Sow your seed, reap the weed. No, not the weed. But anyway, you know what I'm saying? As in, God wants to take you to a place where, yes, I'm committed to sowing, but now I have an eye for reaping. I'm looking all the time. Where is God leading me? What harvest is God leading me into? Where is it? What is it that I need to have in my thinking as in regard to my reaping? Praise God. All right. So we go on this journey. Some will say, I can't afford to sow. Really, I can't even afford to tithe. I would say, though I'm in the valley, God is seating me here that I might read his word. He anoints my head with oil. That I can begin to walk now in a different revelation. I'm not going to trust in myself. I'm not going to trust in my money pit or the money tree. I'm not going to trust on the two in my pocket, but I'm going to trust in the word of God. If the Lord is looking for his tithe, I'll return my tithe. And then I expect blessing to come on my seed. Now I'm going to begin to sow my seed. Now you might be like, I don't have anything to sow. Just start. And I might be like, you're like, I don't have anything. You've got something. How many of you have got a smile? Sow your smile. How many got a handshake? Sow your handshake. But I promise you this, you've all got something financially as well. Even if it's 1%, make a decision. I'm going to find a place to sow. I'm not saying bring it here. I'm saying, where is God leading you? What is the harvest that you want to reap in the future? Now, think about Scripture, because we always need to go back to Scripture. Think about it this way. All right, let's go to Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. This is what it says here. As long as the earth endures. All right, how many of you are here this morning? Give me a wave if you're here today. All right, how many of you know you are here because the earth is enduring? If it hadn't, you wouldn't be here. Chances are you'd be in heaven. Chances are, if you're living a life of faith. All right. So we're here as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest time. Some of us are told, sow. No, sow, reap. Seed time and harvest time, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night, will never cease. So seed time, harvest time. Are you expectant for a harvest? Are you tying your faith to what you're sowing? I can promise you this. I have always tied faith to my sowing. Even when we, just so you know, if you ever want to leave church, enjoy church and go do something else, if we don't feel that it's God, if God's not speaking to us, we will not pray you out. We may say, God bless you, and we will certainly say, God bless you. If we're like, good. But when it comes to sowing out, that's a different thing. We need to know it's God. But every time I've sown someone out and blessed them and sent them with prayers and blessing, I've always had a deal going with God. Lord, I've given you one good one, but I want two back. Now, you might be like, that's cheeky. No, I'm a harvester. I know to sow, I expect to reap. How many of you can tell it's worked? Maybe I should send you all out. Come back next week, it's like, whoa! Quick, build that multi-story car park, whatever. You know what I'm saying? You got to have an expectation. I'm not just, when it comes to sowing financially, don't just give with no consideration. Tell me this. What farmer, and the answer will be, local farmer. What farmer would go out in seed time, sowing time, and sow all the fields and not go back to harvest? You're like, he's crazy. Why do we do that in our lives? We sow with no expectation to reap. God says, no, seed time, harvest time. Yes, sow. If you return the 10, I'll bless the 90. You give the 10, you redeem the 90. When the 90 is redeemed, then you can go and sow with expectation that a harvest is going to come in. Now, let's look at Scripture. How many of you know Scripture is good? Galatians 6, verse 7. What I'm trying to do, the reason I'm bringing out so much Scripture is that you need to understand when it comes to your finances, you need the counsel of God from Genesis to Revelation. Don't just pull out one verse and manipulate it to do whatever you want it to do. You've got to take the whole counsel of God and use the whole lot, okay? All right, everyone said amen. Amen. All right, Galatians 6, verse 7. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. How many of you know this is true in life, in love, in friendships, relationships, ministry, and finance? 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap. Whoever sows generously will also reap. Generously, each man should give what he has decided to give in his own heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a happy giver, a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. You know what? I thank God for the leadership and the board of Enjoy Church. You should thank God for them. Why is that? Because they've always had a revelation of sowing and reaping. Whenever I've asked for an opportunity to sow into others, they've always said, go for it, go for it, go for it, go for it. Whenever we made a decision to sow. So 3 years into Enjoy Church, 17 years ago, we did not have any Asians at Enjoy Church at all. How many of you know that is a tragedy? Well, I think it is anyway. I think it is. We didn't have any Asians at all. And so I got invited by another pastor to go to a trip to the Philippines, a missions trip to the Philippines. Now, I know God loves Philippians. I've read it in the Bible, you know what I'm saying? It's one of Paul's missions trips. He goes to Philippians. I'm like, I'd love to go to the Philippines. Let's go, you know what I'm saying? Because now I got there, expected Paul to be there. Paul wasn't there, whatever. But anyway, I went there. But I can promise you this, we did not have finances at that point to actually do this. But in my heart of hearts, I remembered a scripture that says, God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, you might have all that you need for every good work. I'm going to the Philippians. That's what Paul did. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go be a blessing to them. So we went. But this, I can promise you this. Not one Asian had Enjoy Church. I said to the Lord, Lord, I will go. But here's my deal. How many of you know God's into deals? Deal or no deal, God's into deals. Some of you are like, this is cheeky, but doing this before the Lord. No. The Lord wants to hear our request. The Lord wants to hear the cry of our heart. I said, the Lord, I will go to the Philippians. I will go to the Filipinos. I'm going to go. I will go. I love spring rolls. That's just by the way, but I will go anyway. I'm going to go. But here's the thing. I will sow there, but I want to reap Filipinos here. Reap Filipinos. Now, how many of you know, some of you are like, so now you're harvesting Filipinos. What's going on around here? I promise you this. I got back from that missions trip. I was in the office. Still no Filipinos, no Asians at all. Not one. And so I'm in the office, the phone rings, I answer the phone, and this little old lady, she's like 110 years old, she goes, "Eh, pastor," and I'm like, "Boah, I know who you are, you're a Filipino, oh, one Filipino," you know what I'm saying? I got a Filipino on the line, I'm a fisher of men. So what do? I take groceries around to her. I take groceries. I take gifts to her. I sat with her in a lounge room. And I'm like, all right, sister, this is what I want to do. I'm going to pick you up for church in the morning. She's like, oh, pastor, you don't need to do it. I'm going to come and pick you up. I picked her up. I brought her to church. We brought her to the front of church in service. we laid hands on her. We prayed that she'd be the first of many Filipinos that enjoy church. Within a few weeks, families begin to come in. There's four families, the initial four Filipino families that came in are all still at Enjoy to this day, very much part of our leadership, very much part of our team. And now over the life of Enjoy Church, there are hundreds and hundreds of Filipinos that have made us rich in here. It's like, you for real? You believe that worked? Oh, I believe it works. It's like, how many Filipinos you got? I gotta tell you, they are the salt of the earth. These people, you won't get better people in the world. And it's like, what about Africa? You won't get better people in the world. What about South America? You won't get better people in the world. What about wherever you come from? You people, my people. This is us. We are family. These people are my family. They're not like my family. They are my family. That's why I got no problem standing up here talking about finance, because I know the issues that my daughter goes through, the same issues that you go through. God wants to take us to a place where we understand that He is sovereign and that we can sow with a harvest in mind. And in the fullness of time, we are going to reap if we do not grow weary in doing good. That's what God would have for us. I remember standing on a bridge. I'm about to close. I remember standing on a bridge in Marimbula. It's 1 a.m. in the morning. I'm standing there. At the time, the church was about 600. We were, at that point in time, probably 5 years in, something like that. I'm standing on the bridge. It is raining. 1 a.m. I'm praying. Just standing out there praying. I'd been nominated to be on our state executive. I said, Lord, I don't know that I've got time. We're just starting to see blessing in the church. We're starting to see the church grow. Lord, I love the wider church, but Lord, it's like I've got to focus on, like, this is where my heart's at, Lord. I want to focus on here. I promise you, as clear as anything, I heard the Lord say to me, Shane, you build my church, I will build your church. In that moment, I realized that I can't build the church anyway. Unless the Lord builds the church, they labor in vain who build it. So I thought, I'm going to cast my lot with the Lord. I'm going to cast my trust with God. I'm going to put my faith in Him. I signed the nomination form. Long story short, I got on the state executive, got onto the became state president, got on the national executive, whatever. The point is this, since then to now, we are now more than 10 times the size that we were then. Along the journey, millions and millions and millions of dollars in properties has been given to Enjoy Church that we might establish new locations all around Victoria. And what is better than the new locations, the buildings, is the people. I promise you, the congregations and the leaders around Enjoy Church now that are from all these places, all as I did was sow a seed and begin to sow into other churches. And as I began to sow into other churches, the Lord has allowed Enjoy Church, you, to reap a harvest over and over and over again. Friends, I promise you, God will be true to His word. God will be true to His word. I want to encourage you, look to sow with the end in mind. I'm gonna pull up stumps right about there. That's a cricket term for those of you who don't know. I'm gonna pull up stumps right here. But I want to pray for men and women who want an ongoing, growing revelation of this.